You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.
We're in a series, I started it last week, called Survivor or Survival. And we spoke about that, you know what? God has called us to be survivors. How many know that? God has called you to be a survivor. God has not caused that things would destroy you or things would tear you down. God has called that you're going to be a survivor. Now, we have to understand that to be a survivor means that we may go through some stuff. How many know we may go through some stuff? Look at someone, say you're going to go through some stuff. But that doesn't mean that that stuff has to hinder you or wear you down or tear you down or stop you from what God has for you. Because in the scriptures we saw last week that God has called us to be survivors. We looked at Paul when he was bitten, went for a shipwreck and he survived it. He was bitten by the snake, he survived it. And so we want to speak more about this today. There's a story about this lady. Her name is... let me try and get this right now. It's Vesna Volavik. Vesna Volavik. I think she's Serbian. And so Vesna Volavik, she has the Guinness Book of Records. She is the record, and it still stands today. And she got this Guinness Book of Records in 1974. In 1974, the record still stands today, what she has. And so very unique experience. She entered into Czechoslovakia a very unique way. When she entered into Czechoslovakia, she did not go through border control. She did not have anybody check her passport and stamp and was welcomed. This woman entered into a country a very, very unusual way. And because of that, she holds a world record. And what happened to her in 1974, she was a stewardess on a flight, on an airplane. And as she was on this airplane, an explosion happened on the airplane, and she fell 33,000 feet. Basically, that's the average height of what an airplane flies. She fell 33,000 feet, nearly 6 miles out of the sky, and she fell to the ground. And what she holds the record for is that she actually survived. This woman fell 33,000 feet, 6 miles out of the sky, and she actually, they found her, this guy in Czechoslovakia, he finds her, he calls the emergency services, they come and take her, they put her into hospital. She's broken so many bones in her body. She's in a coma, but she wakes up out of this coma, and she actually recovers and goes back to work, and she lived pretty much a normal, ordinary life, went back to work, went back to the same company, and went and still was able to live a life. Here is a woman that survived a massive fall. How many know it's a miracle, we could almost say, that you survive a fall from 33,000 feet. In Proverbs 24, verse 16, it says this: "For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity." Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your grace and your mercy. I pray, Father, you speak to us today. Help us in this service to really hear from you. Give us the spirit of a survivor. Help us to survive. Help us to survive the falls of life. We ask you this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. The real church says, amen. I want to preach a sermon, Surviving a Fall. Because here is, in this story, what it says is, you know, we understand we can survive a fall. And in our text, it says, "For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again." And what the Bible is showing us, it's not the fall that kills you. It's not the fall that's going to kill you. That you actually can survive this fall. During our life, when I say a fall, and when the Bible says a righteous man falls, what it's speaking about here is not so much that you physically trip over, but that you fall, that you fall from grace, that you fall from a place where it's like you've made some mistakes in your life. When you're not at the place where you should be, where you've made some business decisions and they fall. You've fallen. You've made some mistakes in business. You've made some mistakes financially. You've made some mistakes relationally. Sometimes you've made mistakes as a parent. Marriage and all of these things is that in life there's going to be some falls. In life there's going to be some mistakes that are going to be made. But what the scripture tells us here is that you can survive the fall. Just like this woman fell out of this plane 33,000 feet and survived, that you can survive the fall. Bible shows us that two different disciples. Jesus has many disciples, but there are two I want to focus in on. Peter and Judas. Many of us will know these two disciples, Peter and Judas. Judas sells out Jesus. Judas sells out Jesus. So that's a fall. Here you are, you're a disciple, you're following Jesus, you're seeing Jesus do all these miracles, and then you sell him out. You basically betrayed Jesus. And the Bible says that actually, he doesn't recover from that. Here is this man, did great things, but after he betrays Jesus, we never hear nothing more. Actually, what happens to Judas, if you know your Bible, he commits suicide. Here we have another disciple with Jesus, Peter. Peter denies Jesus. Denies that he knew Jesus. Peter, after Jesus is arrested, how many know when you go through tough times, you really know who your friends are? Everybody can be there with you when, you know, when Jesus was casting out demons and, you know, lightning's come from his fingertips, so to speak. Yeah, there's a big following. What about when he got arrested? Are people still following? A little girl sees Peter and she says, you're one of those. You're one of his disciples. A little girl. And the Bible says that Peter starts swearing. No, I never knew. No. And starts doing all of that stuff. Here he falls. How many know denying Jesus is a fall? If you're a Christian, Jesus says this. If you're ashamed of me now, in the judgment day, I'll be ashamed of you. One of the things that the Bible puts as paramount, don't be ashamed of being standing for Jesus. If you're going to stand for Jesus, you've got to stand for him. Peter denies Jesus. This is a fall. But Peter denies Christ, so he falls, but he's able to be recovered. He actually recovers himself. And he goes on to be one of the major leaders, the major contributors, and God uses him. One man falls and is destroyed. Another man falls and he survives. King David, King Saul. We have two kings. King Saul, God told him, I want you to go and do this, and I want you to do it like this. And he didn't do it. And God said, listen, I'm against you because of that. And then God told King Saul, get rid of all the witches in the land. I mean, no, God is not into witches. I know some of you love Harry Potter. God doesn't want no Harry Potters. Witchcraft. No, but they're good witches. No, witchcraft is, that's a whole other sermon. But here Saul goes to visit a medium. And so we could say it's like tarot cards. God is not into all of that stuff. Mediums and tarot cards. And so the Bible says that God talks to Saul and says, listen, the kingdom is going to leave you. You're no longer going to be the king. I've chosen you to be the king. I'm going to remove you. He goes into battle and he dies. He fell and he never is recovered. King David, on the other hand, when you look at King David, King David is on the roof of his palace, whatever it is, his house, and he sees this woman bathing. This woman is having a bath, a shower on the roof. I don't know why she's doing it on the roof, but that's a whole nother sermon. And so David is looking at that, and he goes after her. Let's bring it to modern terms. You know, David. Imagine, you know, David in nowadays, it would be like David wakes up in the night, he can't sleep, and so he's just on his phone, and he opens up his Instagram, and he sees some likes, and he's looking at some likes, and he's, oh, who's that? That girl liked me. And so he goes onto her Instagram page, and he starts looking at her, and he's just saying, well, because she liked me, it's only fair that I would like her. And she's got a picture of her on holiday in a bikini, and you like it, and then she likes your like, and then she contacts you. And before you know it, David has got her in his house, he sleeps with her, he makes her pregnant, and Now this whole problem unravels. She tells him, David, I'm pregnant. So David's like, listen, okay, get your husband to come home and sleep with you. The husband comes back from battle and he says, make him sleep with you. But because the husband is a man of honor, he says, I can't sleep with my wife because my platoon is out there fighting. I can't be here just enjoying my life. My platoon is out there fighting. And so he doesn't want to just enjoy the comforts of life. And so she's like, he won't sleep with me, David. And so David comes up with another strategy. He says, okay, we're going to send him. He wants to battle. He wants to be in war. Let's send him back to war. And they send him back to war. And while they're fighting, he told his other generals, send him into the toughest part of the battle. When it gets really thick, everybody withdraw from him. David basically signed his death sentence. So David committed adultery, lied, and murdered a man. And the Bible says that even though he fell, God was still able to recover him. God was still able to use him. God didn't give up on him. And even we see the Bible prophesies about Jesus, that Jesus will sit upon the throne of David. See, here we see two sets of people. Both fall, but one recovers. Or should we say, if we look at Judas and King Saul, they never recover, but another one falls, which is Peter and King David, and they recover. Think of the prodigal son. Everybody knows that story. The prodigal son, there is the father saying, you know what, the son is living with the father in the father's house, and the father is wealthy. And the son says, give me my inheritance. And he takes his inheritance, and he goes off. I don't know where he goes. He goes off to a far country. You know, Ayanapa or Ibiza or wherever these places people go to now. He goes there and he's got money. And so, you know, he's driving around in a nice car, and he's got money, and he's going in the bar, and he's buying champagne. And he's on Instagram, and everybody's seeing his life and thinking, oh yeah, we want that, and friends are surrounding him. But you know what he does? He spends all the money. And when he's got no money, he's got no friends, because those are not real friends. And now he's left in the pig pen. He's left at a low station, a low place. He's fallen. How many know he's fallen? But the Bible says that he makes a decision and he says, let's go back. I'm going to go back to my father's house. And the Bible says that all that he lost was restored to him. See, I want to say to us today is that people are going to fall. You are going to fall. I am going to fall. Some of us may fall in smaller ways or larger ways or more serious ways. Like I said, you may fall in business. You may fall in marriage. You may fall with your children. You may fall financially. You may lose this and lose that. But I want to tell you, you can survive the fall. God's desire is that you'd survive the fall. But the big question is, how do I survive the falls of life? I was reading a book about this guy. This kind of inspired the sermon. And he does a study about, he makes things like airbags and all of that. So he studies impact. The science of impact upon the body. And says the body is quite, you know, is more resilient than some people think it is. And so he says the two things that really, in his study, the two things that have really revealed whether people survive a fall or not. One is how they fall. The second is where they fall. And the first thing he says is how they fall. He says if they're very rigid when they fall, they usually damage themselves. But he says if they're more supple when they fall, they usually can survive. And there's sometimes where there's the stories where children have fallen and survived. And you think, how could it? Because as they're young, their bodies are more supple, more flexible many times than when we get a bit older. Amen. I was thinking about this. That if we were more flexible, maybe we would recover from some of our faults. And what I'm speaking about today is, if we were less prideful and less stubborn, maybe when we fall, we would survive. How many know sometimes we can be a bit stubborn and prideful? And so when you fall, it hurts more. Have you ever been somewhere? I was thinking about this story as I was putting this sermon together. I remember walking somewhere and I tripped over and some people were laughing. I wasn't saved at the time. Like, what are you laughing at? And, you know, I said, you know what? It's the grace of God. There's two guys. They didn't come over and knock me out because I was a little pipsqueak. But it's the pride in me. It was pride. Have you ever, you know, like tripped and then you try to pretend like you didn't trip? Like you're doing the Harlem Shuffle or something like that. You try to pretend because it's the pride. One time there was a lady outside. I didn't see it. Thank God I didn't witness it because I would have just, I don't know if I would have composed myself in a pastoral manner. But basically it was outside the Walthamstow conference where we used to have conference. And she kind of tripped on the stairs. And as she tripped, she started to roll. And she just rolled. And she just kept rolling and rolling. It's a bit of an incline. And she literally rolled from about the back of the wall there to the back there. She just kept rolling in front of about 50 to 100 people. And thank God she was okay. Thank God she was okay. But, you know, you realize sometimes when you fall, it's the pride that hurts more than the fall. Prideful people, when we fall and we become prideful people, many times we can't recover. It's not the fall that kills us. It's how we fail. See, a prideful person cannot admit that they're wrong. When you fall, you'll never recover if you can't admit where you're wrong. A prideful person will always refuse to repent. That, the word repent means, you know what, be sorrowful for what you've done and turn around. You can't reason with a prideful person. Never say sorry. Prideful people, many times they won't accept help. You know, a prideful man can really damage himself from a low fall. Whereas a humble man can fall from a greater height and survive. A prideful man can roll out of bed and not survive. Whereas a humble man can fall from a great height and survive. Because it's not so much the fall, it's how you fall. Are you humble? Think about the two stories I said about King David and King Saul. Now let me just put on my natural man's mind. I know you guys are all super biblically, spiritually minded, and whatever God says, I believe. And, you know, I believe everything God says. But think about this now. King Saul was told to go into battle and destroy everything, and he kept some of the stuff. And God says, I'm against that. And he wouldn't admit, God, I've done wrong. He started to justify it. So he's prideful. Then God told him, listen, don't make, you know, you can't, as the king, you can't just make offerings. The priest had to do that. But again, he just goes in and makes offerings. He does those two things, and then I told you the thing about the witchcraft thing. And God actually says, that's it, it's over for you. He never recovers. Now, to me, that's bad. But never recover? Come on, God. Then you see David. Now, remember what David's doing. David's on Instagram telling chicks to come and link him. So think about this now. David, you know, David is like, you know, having things are going in. And then he murders someone. I'm like, David fell from the height. And basically, you know, Saul fell from the stage. If we saw a guy, we say, okay, we're going to drop you from here, or we'll drop you from there. Drop me from here then. If you've got to drop me, I don't want to drop from there. Broop. No. But see, here, what we see is there is a, why did one survive and one didn't survive? And what we see is the humility, because everything is going wrong in David's life, and God sends a prophet. Now remember, David is the king. David can kill anybody he wants to kill. He's the king. This is not democratic times. This is not biblical correct times. This is just, if I want to deal with you, I deal with you times. And so think about this now. God tells the prophet to go and tell King David a story about a man who had a little sheep, and there was a man who had loads of sheep. And the man who had loads of sheep wanted the little sheep. And what he does is he stole the little sheep. And King David says, who was this guy? Who's this guy that did this? Who stole this guy's one sheep and he had all them sheep? And the prophet says, it's you, David. And you know what David does? David doesn't, listen, who are you talking to? I'm the king. Kill him. Right,
he's coming up here telling me stupid stories. He should just come straight and talk to me. I'm the king. No, 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 no. You know what David does? This is what David does. I'm the man. I've done wrong. I've done wrong. And he survives because it's humility. It's not the fall, it's how you fall. It's the humility. When you will fall with humility, God really looks at that. Because, listen, there's nobody up here can say, you know what, I've never fallen. I pray to God that none of us fall in a way that is so terrible and shameful and we destroy our families, our marriages, our kids, our finances. And most of us won't. But we're still all going to fall. There's things that God is going to have to help us with. I read a story about this lady. So she's like in her late 30s, early 40s. And so she's into crafts, arts and crafts, crochet, knitting. And so she joins this club. She's in this club. And so what she does is she goes into, gets in her car and she drives to one of these places where they're going to basically have this class. And she goes to a friend's house where they're going to do this thing. And so she gets out of the car and she's carrying all her stuff. And as she's about to go into the house, what happens is she accidentally slips on the steps. She drops all the stuff. She falls over. And she kind of gets up and she brushes it down. And she's like, oh, she feels so clumsy. And in the story, she says, I could always be a bit clumsy. She says, I've always been a bit like, you know, that type of thing. And she felt a bit of a pain in her chest after she had got up from the fall. And so she felt a bit of a pain in her chest. And what happens is that she goes, oh, that's not right. So she goes in the house now. She's sitting down in the house and she's talking to her friends. And the thing is getting worse. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And what she does is she looks at her chest. And what's happened is one of her knitting needles has gone right in to her chest to such a degree it's scratching her heart. And it's broken off. And so her friends are freaking out, what's going on here? And so what they do is they don't touch it. They're smart. They don't touch those things. So they just call the doctor. So they call the paramedics in America. They come and they get her. They take her into the hospital. They put her into surgery. They remove the needle. They operate on her and she survives. And so she's surviving now, and what's happening is she's gone home now. She's resting, it's still sore, but she's recovering. She gets a call from the doctor, and she says, we need to get you to come back down here. She says, what's happened? They said, when we were operating on you, and obviously we had to take some x-rays and scan you, we found out that there was some growth, some unusual things happening. And what happened was, is that as she goes in, they find out that it's cancer. And they operate. And what happens is that they actually saved her life. And they said, if we would have found that cancer later, there's no way we could have saved your life. She says in the story, that fall saved my life. See, not every fall is going to destroy you. Some of the falls in life, you're like, oh, yeah, this fall is over for me. No, it's not over for you yet. And this is how we can be sometimes because of our pride. It's like, well, you know, I've fallen, so listen, I don't care what no one says. And we start to become this type of person. Listen, the fall doesn't have to kill you. It's how you fall. He said, the guy that studied about people that survive, he said, it's how you fall and where you fall. And I want to close with this, where you fall. Or should we say where you land? You know, they say it's not the fall that kills you, it's the sudden stop at the end. I remember hearing a story many years ago about a woman that she wanted to parachute. Some of this stuff I'd like to do, but I'm like, you know what? Nah, my life is stressful enough. You know, there's people that do that, their life is, maybe there's no stress in their life. That's why poor people are not doing those things that often, because just being poor is stressful enough. We don't have to find no more stress. jump out of things, land on things, bungee of things. Listen, life is just stressful enough. But she jumps out of this plane. She's with an instructor. It's one of these ones where she's tied to the instructor. They pull the parachute. Something goes wrong with the parachute. They're landing too fast. The instructor knows, if we land like this, she's going to die. We're both going to die. And so what the instructor does is he turns himself over, and she lands on him. And he dies, and she survives. He gave his life. Can I tell you today is that not just how you fall, but where you land. When you fall, you better land with Jesus. If you fall, you better land with Jesus. This is why there are people that are not saved, don't serve Jesus, and we think, why are they destroying themselves? More and more, I'm hearing young men committing suicide. More and more. Young men attempting to commit suicide. I've said this and I say it again and again so it seeps into us. In this country alone, 12 men every day try to commit suicide. 12 men, I believe, die of suicide. Every day, today, 12 men on average will commit suicide and go into eternity. Why would that be? Can I tell you? When you fall without Jesus. Some of us, we're only here, we've only survived because, not because we're so perfect, oh, I've done nothing wrong. No, we've fallen, but what happened is, because we've had Jesus, Jesus turned around and we fell on him and he broke our fall and we survived while he gave his life. This is why the Christian should not be pompous and prideful and arrogant. We should be humble and gracious and grateful. And we should be sharing the love of Jesus with others and saying, listen, I'm no different than you. You're falling and I'm falling. The only difference between me and you is I fall and I landed with Jesus. I've landed with Jesus. Don't land in the wrong place today. Don't land in the wrong place. Jesus has provided his life for you. When he died on the cross, if we could put it like this, when Jesus died on the cross is this net that catches sinners. But the choice is, am I going to land on the net or am I going to land on the concrete? Don't land in the wrong place. Matthew 27 verse 3. Let's speak about Judas a little bit. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, this is after he's betrayed Jesus, he's received the money to betray Jesus. He's already betrayed Jesus. Was remorseful. Judas actually was remorseful. It says it here. He was remorseful. He actually was sorry that he betrayed Jesus. At this point, Jesus is still alive, but Jesus is arrested now. But Judas is sorry. He's remorseful. He's repentant. I'm sorry. And he brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned. He's confessing his sin and betrayed innocent blood. So here is Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus. He's fallen. I'm remorseful. I'm sorry. Why did I do this? I've done the wrong thing. He goes back and says, I'm sorry. Even take back the money. It's not like, I'm sorry, but I'm keeping the money. You know, some people, that's not repentance. Yeah, I'm sorry, y'all, but I'll keep the money. I know I borrowed £100 for you. I'm sorry I didn't give it back to you, but I'm buying some Air Max. No. You need to give back the money. But listen, we would say this is genuine repentance. There's something here. But who did he go to? He didn't go to Jesus. He goes to the chief priests and the elders. The Bible says, look what they say. What is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Judas fell. Peter fell. But Judas landed in the wrong place. Judas landed in the wrong place. Judas went to a place where there was no support. There was a story, a very tragic story about this guy. You know, they fire out of these cannons and he's got like a crash helmet on. And they fired him out and he landed on the net. But the problem was someone didn't tie one of the corners of the net and he died. He hit the net. The very thing that he had his confidence in. The very thing that he thought would save him and keep him and protect him was the very thing that let him down. Judas thought, I can go to the priest. See, if we don't land with Jesus, we've only got man to help us. Be very careful when you fall that you don't land with just your friends that tell you what you want to hear. There are people that are going to tell you what you want to hear. You know, those type of friends, they just tell you what you want to hear. They agree with you. You made a mistake. You know, sis, you've made a mistake. You shouldn't have done that. But you go around and you just hang with the people that tell you what to hear. Yeah, you know, this is what I did. It's true. You should have. That's a problem, man. They're just telling, it's incestuous. They only know as much as you know, and you only know as much as they know. Well, bro, you know, listen, man, I told her, and she don't do it, and she tried to make me do this, and yeah, bro, man, I would never. You're not going to survive. You've landed in the wrong place. In the beginning, people do those things, and then we're hearing people taking their lives, people making worse decisions. Not only am I just saying that we shouldn't look to man as a, you know, you just want to find people that just want to tell you what you want to hear, but I want to say, do not look to religion. Just religious people. Religious people like these Pharisees and Sadducees. Religious people, you do not want to fall around religious people because religious people will condemn you more. Religious people will always remind you of your flaws and why it won't work, and remember what you did. Yes, we have to deal with sin. If you've sinned and you've done wrong, we have to bring it up. We have to deal with it. We have to bring some instruction, some repentance. We have to hope that you can recover from that. There was a Russian pilot that fell from over 20,000 feet. I think it was 28,000. But I know it was over 20,000 feet. And he survived the landing. You know why? Where he landed? He landed in the snow. Now, this snow on the side of this mountain. This guy was talking about impact. He says, corn snow. It's like the snow that is freeze, kind of melt. It's so fluffy that this man, this soldier, landed in this snow and he survived. We can survive if we land where Jesus is. Because when you land where Jesus is, you're going to land in His love. Listen, the love of Jesus is like the snow. Yep, you done wrong. You made a mistake, I made a mistake, we've blown it. But if we can humble ourselves, get loose. At least stop the... No, just get loose. You're falling. Loosen off. Where's Jesus? Okay, over here. You can survive. When you land with Jesus, not just His love there, His mercy is there. You know what mercy means? You won't get what you deserve. What you deserve, you're not going to get. How many know if you hit floor, you should feel pain? If you're moving at a high velocity, then when you hit the ground, we should see a splatter. But that's not the case. Because mercy says, no. That's what you should have got. But you're not going to get that. You're going to get blessing and recovery. Because this is when you land with Jesus. If you land without Jesus, then there is going to be a mess. Everybody's going to see it. You get His love, you get His mercy, and you get His grace. You know what grace is? Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is He gives you what you don't deserve. We made a mistake. But by grace, He gives us recovery and newness of life. And just like this woman who fell on the knitting needle and her heart was pierced. And sometimes that's how it feels when you come to church, that you've made some mistakes. And when you're in church now, Pastor, why are you piercing me? Why is your word rubbing me the wrong way? Why are you talking about these things? Why is this happening to me? I feel pierced. She says, you know what? It was that piercing of her heart that really saved her life. Because it brought her attention to a bigger problem. Can I tell you, you may feel convicted. You may feel that God is dealing with you right now. But I'm telling you, God is convicting you and piercing your heart because He wants to bring your attention to a bigger problem, your sin. grace, giving you what you don't deserve. I said the prodigal son really is the archetype story of someone who can fall and survive. The prodigal son gets the money from his father, goes to Rave City, spends all his money. He's in the pig pen, he's falling. But he has enough sense to say, you know what? If I'm falling, let me fall, let me land in my father's house. He says, I'll go back and be a servant. How many know he was a son, he's going to be a servant? How many know that's a fall? Imagine you as the managing director of a major company, John Lewis, Marks and Spencer's, Microsoft, or Apple. You're the major thing, and then you messed up so bad, now you're going to come back and you're just sweeping the Apple store. How many know that's a fall? That's what the prodigal son, he says, I'm willing. If I'm falling, but I'm willing. I wasted all the money. I don't deserve a second chance. I don't deserve nothing. But if I'm falling, I'm going to have to land. I know if I'm going to survive, I need to land in the father's house. And the Bible says that when he's coming afar off, the father sees to him and the father runs to him, embraces him, brings him back home. And he says, you know what? He puts the robe on him. The ring on him, he restores. When he landed, he got back everything he lost. That's what grace is. This is why we need to land with Jesus. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by the sermon to reach the lost and make disciples. For more information on what we do and who we are, visit us at phcwandsworth.co.uk.